Well, dear hearts, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And today I'm going to present the message to you that I preached to our fellowship here in Jacksonville, Florida. It's entitled, My Source. My Source. Christ Jesus is our source. I don't know if he's your source or not, but friend, I can promise you this. If Christ Jesus is not your source, you're missing out on everything. So why don't you ask the Holy Spirit of God to give you ears to hear? Why don't you listen carefully? Psalms 27, verses 1 through 14, My Source. May God bless you as you listen. I don't know if we'll get through all 14 verses this morning or not, because there's two or three verses, and they're all just loaded, but there are two or three verses especially that I want to look at very closely. David was a man of adversity. David was a man of treachery. David knew what it was to have trusted friends turn against him. We've all been there. David knew what it was to suffer. Once Saul turned against him, he's running for his life, just trying to survive, trying to hold on to the promises of God. We've all been there. We've all been there. And so this morning, in Psalm 27, I'd like to get through all 14 verses. I don't know if I can or not, but we'll take it as it is, beginning with verse 1. The Lord is my light. In other words, the Lord is the one who illumines me, the one who enlightens me. He's the one who gives me understanding. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now, when you think of salvation, you think of being born again. But when David says, the Lord is my salvation, he's encompassing everything that we embrace as being part of born again, because in the Hebrew, that word salvation carries the idea of he is my deliverance, he is my liberty, he is my protection, and he is my prosperity. And so we have all of that involved with us in born again. He is looking at it even then. Whom shall I fear? Now, how many times this past couple of years have we looked at fear? Word of God says we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. David knew what it was to be up against the wall. David knew what it was to be up against the opposition. David knew what it was to be up against those who wanted to destroy him. So he says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. The Lord is the one who protects me. The Lord is the one who provides for me. And the Lord is the one who cares for me. He is my strength. He encourages me. He strengthens me. He is the strength of my life. Once again, he comes to it, of whom shall I be afraid? Now you got to ask yourself, of whom shall I be afraid? Of what shall I be afraid? I fear no man. I fear no man. And I have no reason to fear anything else. You know, I think Charles that day, he said, well, when the COVID-19 first hit, he said, well, it's a win-win situation. If you catch and die, you go to glory. Amen. If you catch and get healed, well, you're healed. And so, but you know, this thing is still grasping the nation. And now we're being told about more and more variants coming down the pike at us. And we're being told more and more vaccinations are being offered to us now. And it continues a matter of population control. Get subservient. Get in line by what we're saying to you. We come to verse 2. When the wicked came against me, to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. When the wicked came up, listen, you're in this box every day. Every day of the world you get up, you're under attack. Amen. And sometimes it's more severe than others. But everything out of hell hates you if you belong to Christ. And it's a good thing to be hated in hell. Amen. It's a good thing to be hated in hell. You don't want to be loved in hell. You want to be hated in hell. So every morning when you get up, you've got the enemy coming against you. When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh. Now here's an interesting thing. The enemies and the foes. You would think that the enemies and foes are the same thing. But in the Hebrew, there's a little variation here. The enemies are those who don't like you. And because they don't like you, they try to cause you problems. They try to cause you grief. They try to endanger you. They try to make you stumble and fall. So that's the enemies. They don't like you. The foes, they hate you. That's the difference in the two. The enemies don't like you. The foes hate you. Not only do the foes hate you, the foes would like to take you out. And they'd use anybody, any means, or any method to try to take you out. And David recognized that. There are those who don't like me. There are those who hate me. There are those who will tolerate me in their disliking me, but there are those who would try to take me out in their hatred of me. But when they came, what happened? They stumbled and fell. I've been there. You've been there. You've been there when the enemy was coming against you, but he just couldn't succeed in what he was trying to accomplish. He stumbled and he fell. That's exactly what he's saying. Look at verse 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Though an army may encamp against me, you're surrounded every day by those who literally hate you. You're surrounded every day by those that like to take you out. We're talking about every unclean spirit. Now, I asked you last Sunday, and then I covered it again this past Wednesday night just to see if you're on top of the ball. I said, if you were a disembodied spirit and you wanted to find expression, how would you handle it? If you were a disembodied spirit, but you wanted to express yourself. Well, if you're a disembodied spirit and you want to express yourself, you got to find something or someone that you can express yourself through. And that's exactly what's going on in the world today. You've got to understand that in your Senate, in the House, in the judiciary, in the legislative bodies, in the academic bodies, and even in the religious community, I notice I didn't say church. I said religious community. Because not everybody in the religious community are part of the church. No, the church is the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God. Been born again. Christ is our Savior. Sins are forgiven. Past forgotten. Loved us when we were unlovable. So you have to keep that in mind. The enemy surrounds you every day. But he says, even though they come, my heart shall not fail. I won't lose courage. I will not become discouraged. I will not become distraught. I will not become discouraged to the point that I'm non-functional. I won't let that happen to me. The war should rise up against me. The war. Now we're no longer just messing with people who don't like us and people are they're coming against us. Folks, you have to understand, and I've tried for years and years and years to make the people of God understand this, you will never spend a day on this earth when Satan and everything out of hell doesn't want to trip you up. One way or the other. They want to discourage you. They want to defeat you. They want to disappoint you. They in some way want to hinder you in your walk with the Lord. So every day when you get up, that's why you put on the whole armor of God. Every day of the world. I don't like to be up very long before I hit my knees and say, Lord, I choose to die to self. I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. I want to honor you. I want to glorify you. I want to obey you. Get on your knees, right, or commit yourself to the Lord. I like to sit on the edge of the bed when I first get up. I just like to sit on the edge of the bed and say, Lord, I submit myself to you and I resist the devil. I say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I choose to die to self. Because I want you to live your life through me. And then I say to the Holy Spirit, I can't do any of this unless you enable me and empower me to do this. And so if you start your day out like that and put everything in hell on notice, I'm awake. You got a problem. I'm up, I'm about, I'm awake, and you got a problem. No matter what you bring against me today, I am going to survive this and I'm going to come through it victorious. But why? Because Christ is my strength. He's the one who watches over me. Verse 4. One thing. What is the one thing you desire of the Lord? I'm not asking you to answer me right now, but what is the one thing that you desire from God? David tells us what his was. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. I want one thing. And because I want this from the Lord, I'm going to seek this. How do you seek it? Come with me alone. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord. In other words, in the presence of God. That's what he's saying. One thing I have desired of the Lord. And that's what I'm going to seek. I'm going to seek that with all my heart. that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Every day of his life, he wants to be consciously aware of the presence of God. Every day of his life. It is said of Spurgeon that Spurgeon never went 15 minutes without acknowledging the Lord, acknowledging the presence of the Lord, and acknowledging his need of the Lord. And David is saying, this is my desire. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord. What is the beauty of the Lord? It's his holiness, his purity, his wonder. Can you listen? I'll get to this again in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'm going to get there anyway. We are living in the land of the dying.
That's right.
It's appointed a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. We're living in the land of the dying. David looked ahead to the land of the living. We have that same right. We can anticipate the land of the living because the land of the living is in the presence of God. That's in glory. That's in paradise. That's the new heavens and the new earth. We can anticipate the land of the living. He goes on, behold the beauty of the Lord. He's saying, I want to behold Jehovah God in everything he is. I want to behold him in his holiness, his purity, everything that he is, his brightness, his glory. I want to behold him. I want to see him. And I want to inquire at his temple. I want to be able to ask him questions. Do you ever ask the Lord questions? Ask him all the time. I want to inquire. He wants to be able to communicate with the Father. He wants to ask him questions and get some answers. He needs insight. He needs wisdom. He needs knowledge. He needs some answers that he doesn't have. You've got them too. The question is, are you sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to let the Holy Spirit speak to your spirit and give you the answer you need at times? Sometimes, listen, I've told you how many times, you've got to be sensitive because when that little puff of the Spirit comes against your spirit, you need to understand what he's saying. He's going to quicken to you. Sometimes he'll just quicken a scripture to you. The other day, he just reminded me, I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. You're up against the wall. You're in a battle. You don't understand what's going on. And he reminds you from his word. That's why you have to be in his word. And that's also why you need to be sensitive to his spirit so that his spirit can minister the word to you. That's what David is warning. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Now, you're thinking pavilion. Oh, boy, that sounds pretty nice. No. The word pavilion there in the Hebrew carries the idea of a temporary kind of structure kind of thing that a shepherd would build out among the flock so he could stay in that while he was watching the flocks. It's not a what you're thinking of. It's not an ornate building. It's not a majestic kind of building. It was just a little structure kind of thing that the shepherd might put together so he could kind of stay out of the weather, but where he could sleep at night watching his sheep. But watch this, we go further now. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me. Have you ever been hidden by the Lord in a time of trouble? I have. The Lord hid me time after time after time after time. He shall hide me in the time of trouble. He shall hide me in his pavilion, in his secret place of his tabernacle. Now, he's moved from the pavilion to the tabernacle. He has now moved from that simple little structure out in the field where the sheep are over to the tabernacle, to the Holy of Holies, to the mercy seat. And so now he is talking about God protecting him at the least, bringing him into the greatest, if you will. Once again, for the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion in the secret place. That's the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. And here he is saying that he will set me on the rock. In other words, I'm up here, and where I'm at, the enemy can't get to me. He molests me. Now, the Word of God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Friend, that does not mean the weapon is not going to be formed. And that does not mean the weapon is not going to be utilized. It just means that when you put on the whole armor of God and you're walking in the Spirit and you're trusting God and believing God for everything in your life, that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper because God is going to short-circuit that thing. Amen. If you get this down, whom am I to fear? Who have I got to fear? What have I got to fear? He's going to protect me. He will set me high upon a rock. In the time of trouble, remember the pavilion, little structure. Then he moves you to the tabernacle, to the Holy of Holies. In other words, from the lowest to the highest, from the smallest to the greatest, he's going to protect you. Why? Because he's always with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He is right there every hour of every day that you need him. He is there. So many times we don't call on him. We're trying, I'll handle this myself. I'll get through it, Lord. Don't worry about it. No, you won't get through it. He'll sucker punch you, and then you'll find out you didn't make it. Now, verse 6. Here we go. And now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I realized this morning in this praise service, this little praise team we got, I knew the anointing was there. I knew not only was the anointing there, and I knew that Xenia over here was just really having herself a time in the praise and worship. And what he is saying here, my head shall be lifted up above my enemy, meaning this, I am exalted by God above my enemies. Think of what I'm saying now. Think about what I'm saying. Listen to me. Every demon out of hell. Somebody said to Charles Stanley one time, they said, Charles, your problem is that you think there's a demon behind every bush. Charles said, don't hurt to look. Don't hurt to look. You've got to understand we are in a warfare, folks. And in recent months when they tell us about the declension of the church, they tell us about the church losing impact to the nation. I got news for you. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. So you have to understand, yes, you're in the battle. Yes, the battle is raging. Yes, the weapons are being formed. Satan and his little demons down around the planning table again. Well, we tried that on Lenny and it didn't work. What are we going to hit him with next time? And that goes on, friend. They try to come up with strategies that they can use against you. They'll try this strategy. If that didn't work, we'll try this. If that didn't work, we'll try this. But the battle rages on. The battle rages on. Once again, my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Notice he's not in the pavilion. He's not in that little structure. He's in the tabernacle. He's in the Holy of Holies. He will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Do you ever sing praises to the Lord? I mean, just you and him. I think I mentioned on the radio this past week, I can praise the Lord sometimes by myself quicker than I can in here. If I'm not careful, I'll let myself get distracted. If I'm not careful, I'll let things in the ministry, I'll let something that's going on distract me. But when I get alone with him, and I just walk around singing to him, and I express my love to him in song sometimes. Why? Because he enjoys that, and I enjoy that. But so you don't have to wait till you get in here to praise him. You can praise him anywhere. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says, in everything give thanks. So when something goes haywire, something goes wrong, start giving thanks, start praising him, start giving him glory. Satan hates it. Hates you, hates praise. So do it. Just aggravate him. Do it just to aggravate him. Now verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Hear, O Lord. Lord, listen to me. It's okay to say that he's your father. You know, I know that most of the church did not have a warm, intimate relationship with their fathers. I know that. I know that so much of the church has wounded, bruised spirits. I know that so much of the church, Psalms 109:18-21 through there, talks about this in the people of God. But you have to understand that your heavenly father is a world apart different from your earthly father. He's interested in everything in your life. He knows everything that has touched your life. He knows what has bruised you. He knows what has wounded you. He knows what has discouraged you. He knows what has disappointed you. And he wants you to talk to him about it. He wants you to share your heart with him. He wants you to say to him, this hurt. Lord, this hurt. Father, this was disturbing. Father, this was discouraging. He wants you to talk. So that's what David is saying here. Hear, O Lord, hear when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Listen to me, Lord. Listen to me. Hear what I've got to say. Hear what my heart is saying. And when you hear what my heart is saying, answer me. Give me some relief. Give me some comfort. Give me some peace. Speak to my heart. Now we get into some deeper water. Watch verse 8. When you said, when Jehovah said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Stop and pause. Look at that a moment. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, to your face, my heart said to you, I will seek. Let's think about that for a moment. Jehovah says to you, seek my face. What does that mean? What does it mean to seek the face of Jehovah? That's what he said to David. He said to David, David, seek my face. See, so many of us are interested in his hand. What have you got you can give me? What have you got you can do for me? Jehovah said to David, seek my face. David, seek my presence. Get to know me. Understand me. Understand all there is about me. Seek me, David. Not just my hands, what I can protect you from, what I can provide you with, but no, seek me. Get to know me. When Cher and I got married some 50 years ago, we would lay at time for hours on the bed just talking to each other about what we had experienced as children, what we'd experienced as teenagers. We just talked. I knew everything that ever touched her life, practically. She knew everything that touched my life. We were getting to know each other. I've been praying for a couple for some months now, maybe close to a year, year and a half. They were having problems. So we just kept praying and praying and praying. And I got an interesting, I texted him the other day, and I said, how's it going? He's in Canada. I said, how's it going? And now they were separated. They're back together now, and they're in another nation now. And he said, we're getting reacquainted. We're getting reacquainted. How many people in the church need to get reacquainted with God? How many really need to get reacquainted with him, seek his face, not just what he can do for you, not just what he can protect you from, but what is he to you in all of his holiness, in all of his perfection, in everything that he is? So when the Jehovah God said that to David, David said, my heart, what is that? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, and you need not turn, I'll tell you what it says. Paul is praying that they might be strengthened in the inner man. What is the inner man? That's you. That's that part of you that can respond to God. That's that part of you that can respond to him in intimacy, in communion, in fellowship. But how many times do we just sit down, get quiet, get still? What the Word of God says, be still. Know that I am God. How many times do we sit down? Lay aside the iPad, lay aside the desktop, the computer, the phone, the iPhone, lay aside everything. So I'm here to spend time with you, Father. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be still. And I'm trusting you will speak to me, Father, because I'm going to share my heart with you. I'm going to share my hurt, pain, concerns, discouragement, cares. I'm going to share that with you. And I'd like for you to buttress me. I'd like you to share with me your heart. But I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to be still. That's what David is saying. David said, you told me to seek your face. I'm going to seek your face. And I'm going to seek your face by getting alone with you, spending time with you, talking to you, listening to you. And you've got to have the ears to hear. What did Jesus keep saying about 13 times in the Scripture? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Not everybody has ears to hear. Not everybody in the, quote, church has ears to hear. And certainly not everybody in the religious community has ears to hear. You've got to develop ears to hear. How do you develop ears to hear? spending time in His presence, time in His Word, time in communion, listening to Him and taking note of what He's saying to you. Verse 9, David goes on, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." Now, why did David say that? Why would God, who said to him, "Seek my face," why would he turn from him? He says, "Don't hide your face from me." Why would God, after having told him, "Seek my face," turn his face from him? God didn't do that. God didn't do that. David is looking back across his life. You've been there, I've been there. And you thought, why would God become flesh and go to a cross for something like me? Why would he? See, what David is really saying here, don't turn your servant away in anger because of my past sins. I'm not worthy to seek your face. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I'm not worthy to be yours. I'm not worthy to be called yours. I'm not worthy of the blood. Well, I can say that to the Lord every day of the world. I'm not worthy of the blood that you shed for me. I'm not worthy of the blood that cleanses me. And I'm not worthy of the blood that cleanses me still when I confess my sin. So David is remembering his sins. He says, don't be angry with me. You've been my help. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. Do you realize what would happen if God forsook you for 5 minutes? Bring it down to 5 seconds. I wouldn't want to go 5 seconds without knowing that my God is divine, He's sovereign, He's omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent, and He's watching over me. None of us really would. O God of my salvation. Verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Sometimes the people you trust the most let you down. I've experienced that in ministry. There were people that I just really, really trusted. And I found out they were not to be trusted. And some of you found that as well. You found sometimes it's a husband that finds out he couldn't trust his wife. A wife finds out she couldn't trust her husband. A parent finds out they couldn't trust their children. It happens in churches. It happens in life. And so once you understand what he's saying there, just don't forsake me. Don't forsake me. If my mother and my father forsake me, you'll take care of me, Lord. He's the one in all the universe that will never forsake you. He will be there through thick and through thin. He'll be there, as I said this past Wednesday night, through the good, the bad, and the ugly. He'll be there through the whole thing, all of it. He'll be with you. And you can reach out anytime and touch Him because He's always that close to you. Teach me your way, O Lord. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. I want you to instruct me, Lord. I want you to teach me. I want you to make your purpose for my life clear. I want you to make your plan for my life clear. I want you to make these things clear to me, Lord, because I need to understand them. So teach me and lead me in a smooth path. That word smooth path there carries the idea of give me a broad open path whereby the enemy cannot hide in ambush to attack me. Now that's what that means in the Hebrew. This smooth path, if you will, plain path, clear path, it simply means lead me in a way that I cannot be ambushed. You recall that in the days of Elisha, the king of Syria had come up to attack the king of Israel and was camped up on the hills and waiting for him to come by and they're going to attack him. And Elisha kept telling the king, don't go that way, don't go that way, don't go that way. And the king of Syria said, what's going on here? Somebody in my inner circle is getting word to the king of Israel, telling him what I plan to do. Who is it? And one of the guys around the king said, king, the prophet Elisha, he can tell the king what you see in your bedroom. He knows what, because the God that he serves informs him. So the God that he serves is informing him of your plans so you can't capture him. So he said, okay, we'll do it this way. He's going to try a new tactic on the thing. So Elisha and his servant are out, and they're walking down the road, and this servant says to Elisha, he saw these chariots up there, and he saw all these horsemen. And he said, we're finished. I'm ad-libbing here. He said, we're finished. This is a wrap. I mean, look at these armies. Look at the army. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw chariots of fire. He saw chariots of fire armed. He said, there's more of us. Elisha said, there's more of us than there is of them. God had to open his eyes. So you see, the battle is raging. But unless God opens your eyes to see the reality of what you're up against, you won't get it. So God, Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, let him see. So he let him see. Well, then you recall in that story that they God blinded the eyes of the Syrian army. And Elisha said, look, you're looking for the king, follow me. Now, they were not blinded physically. They were blinded mentally, emotionally. They couldn't understand what was going on. So he leads them to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel says, okay, they're here, let's kill them. Elisha says, no, you don't just kill them like that. No, no, give them water, give them bread, send them back home, treat them right. And he did that, and they never came back and attacked him again. You see, God can make your wildest, meanest enemy be at peace with you. God can make the wildest enemy that you've got, the enemy that really wants to destroy you, he can give you perfect peace with him, just like he did in that situation there. So David says to them, lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. I know they're out there. Folks, listen to me. David says, I know they're out there. I know they're waiting for me. I know they want to ambush me. But Lord, I'm asking you to lead me in a smooth path. Why? Because of my enemies. Now we come down to verse 12. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. He says, don't forsake me, Lord. Don't deliver me over to the will of my enemies. Keep me safe. Keep me secure. Now come to verse 13. I would have lost heart. David says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Watch this. In the land of the living. Amen. There it is. I would have lost heart. I'm going to tell you. They tell us the number of preachers that are leaving the ministry every year. And we read of pastors that said, if I had anything else to do, I'd go do it. If there was any other way I could make a living, I would go do it. And I say to myself, wait a minute. If you're called of God, you don't have a choice. If you're called of God, if you're truly called of God, you've got to stay where he plants you. You have no choices. And I'll never thank God enough for Dr. Harold Yockengay, pastor of Park Street Church up in Boston. Billy Graham said he never made a decision about calling Harold Yockengay. In the morning of seminary, when the Lord told me to get his signature, and I resisted getting a signature because I didn't want to ask for a signature, I wanted to get a Coca-Cola. And about three times he ran me back and forth, go get his autograph. And I've told you this before, but the night before when God had put two scriptures in my mind, Luke 4:18, 1 Corinthians 9:16, and they were in my mind, and I looked for quickly in Strong's Concordance, didn't find them, I said, well, I'll catch it later. Went on to seminary, and the next day when the Lord said, go get his autograph, I wouldn't do it. I was thinking about leaving seminary. I told the Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'll go back to making money. I can make money. You allowed me to make money. I can make some money, and I'll give it to you. But I don't think I can do this. And I was thinking seriously about leaving the seminary. And I went up to Dr. Yockengay the third time. I went up down to a stair trying to get a Coca-Cola on our break. And I got up there, and you had these people around Dr. Yockengay, and then they had finally left. And I went up, and I said, Dr. Yockengay, would you sign my Bible? He said, sure. He signs it, and he looks at me, and he smiles. And he wrote something in there. And he stopped, he smiled again, and he wrote something. And I knew in my heart, he just put the two scriptures in there I couldn't find the night before. And that Bible is still on my desk, and I can show it to you. There it was, Luke 4:18, 1 Corinthians 9:16. God was saying to me, now I've told you, sit down, be quiet, and obey me. You're not leaving seminary. Yes, sir, I'm not leaving seminary. But see, he has his ways of dealing with you. He has his ways of speaking to you. He has his ways of using other people to speak into your life. And that's what David is saying here. Do not deliver me to my enemies. I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart. Some of you have been so discouraged at times you thought, what's it all about? How many in here have ever been truly, truly, truly spiritually discouraged? Raise your hand. Aha! So we're all in the same boat, right? We've been there. Do not forsake me. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I'm going to encourage you now. You are living in the land of the dying. I said this a while ago. You're living in the land of the dying. You're all looking at death. You can't escape it. You can't outrun it. You can't avoid it. You can't ignore it. You are going to die. Turn to somebody right now and say, I am going to die. See, that's reality. It's not a reality we like to observe, but it is reality. But when I leave the land of the dying, I'm going to the land of the living. And that's what David is saying here. He said, I'm going to the land of the living. Which tells you this. David, in his day, understood afterlife. He understood there was a life after this life. It was a life of the land of the living where nobody died. He understood that. David had that spiritual insight. We've got the same thing waiting for us. We say, goodbye, land of death. Hello, land of glory. And when you get there, you're never going to die again. You've got glory forever and ever and ever in a new heavens and a new earth. And not only that, you'll come back when he comes back. You'll come back with him. Everybody says amen. After the tribulation. There we go. There we go. Scripture upon line upon line. All hell's going to break this down here. The church is going to come under tremendous persecution. But those of us who've been born again, we're either going to be resurrected and raptured when Christ returns, they will be with him forevermore. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know Bertha Smith. Bertha was a Southern Baptist missionary to China. I've told you this before, but I just feel like I need to, because I heard it in the spirit. I heard it. I was at her place in Cowpen, South Carolina. And I said, Bertha, Southern Baptist missionary. I said, Bertha, the missionaries over here telling the Chinese that they were never going to face tribulation. And look what the Japanese did. Look what the Japanese did. I said, Bertha, how'd you explain that to them? And Bertha said, come here, Bob. We went to her over. She shut the door. And she said, we were running from the Japanese. She said, we got to a railhead where we had to wait about 6 weeks to be evacuated. And she said, I had Chinese coming to me saying, you people told us this was never going to happen. You told us this couldn't happen. How do you explain this? Explain it to me. And she said, Bob, I didn't have the answers. I didn't have the answers. She said, so I said to God, I'm going to get the answer. I'm going to find out. She said, I closeted myself those 6 weeks, 8 to 10 hours a day. I spent alone with God. And she said, I went through all the scriptures from Genesis to the book of the Revelation. And I wrote down every scripture that might indicate that the church would not come under persecution. She said, I wrote down every scripture that indicated the church might not come under persecution. And she said, then I wrote down every scripture that indicated the church would come under persecution. And she said, at the end of 6 weeks, 8 hours a day, I had two scriptures, and they were nebulous, that indicated we might not face tribulation. And she said, I had page after page after page saying that we would. And I'm saying to you, I said to my wife the other day, I said, babe, I said, most of the church is naive. Most of the church is naive concerning biblical prophecy. Most of the church is naive concerning the things we're facing right now that you see on the drawing board right now. And then this past week, a ranking admiral in the Navy said, the American people are naive. The American people are naive when it comes to China. They really don't understand what's going on. We have this one consolation. No matter what comes down the pike, no matter what we go through, Folks, we had people being tied to stakes and burned to death and praising God while they burned to death. We had people being taken into an arena and turned loose wild animals that hadn't been fed for weeks, so they'd tear them to pieces and eat them. And they died praising God. Why? Because I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the darkest hour of your life, Jesus is there. In the darkest hour of your life, you have access to Him. And so now David wraps it up in Psalm 27 by saying in verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. I say, wait on the Lord. Wait, what does that mean? Does that mean you say, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch for the rapture?
No,
that's not what it means. The Hebrew there means actively waiting on Him. In other words, you stay active doing what you're called to do. You stay active doing what you're gifted to do. You stay active doing what you're anointed to do. And you stay active in the kingdom, pursuing the kingdom, advancing the kingdom. And while you're doing all that, you're waiting for His arrival. But because you're waiting for His arrival, you work in anticipation. He's going to come get you, or you're going to go to Him, one or the other. So once you understand what the psalmist is saying here, he faced all kinds of difficulty, all kinds of trouble. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. No matter what's going on, be of good courage. Remember, God is on His throne. Remember, Satan is a loser. Remember, everything out of hell is under the feet of Jesus. If it's under the feet of Jesus, it's under your feet. Because you're in Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He lives to make intercession. He's interceding for you. God hears His prayers. God answers His prayer. So how can you lose?
Amen.
Can't do it. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Every head bowed. What I want you to do in the next few moments, are you willing to seek the face of the Lord? Really? When He said to David, David, seek My face. David said, my heart said, I will seek Your face. There are needs in here this morning. There are needs in here that only Christ can meet. If Christ doesn't meet it, it won't be met. I want you this morning, in the next few moments, to express your heart to the Lord. What do you want from Jesus this morning? What do you want from Jesus? What is that one thing you really, truly, more than anything else, want Jesus to do in your life, for you? Express it. Now, we're not talking so much right now about physical needs, because I'm going to bless you in a moment for that anyway. But what would you really ask Jesus to do this morning? Make your request. Would you be willing to seek His face like you never have before? To know Him, your Father? Your Father says to His child, seek My face. I want you to know Me. He knows you. He knows everything that's ever touched your life. Psalms 109:22. Proverbs 18:14. Psalms 109:22, my heart is wounded within me. Proverbs 18:14, a wounded spirit who can bear? I want you to present your petition. Would you say to the Father this morning, initiate a new work in my heart, a heart to seek you, to know you. I'm going to pray for you. And then for those of you who have any kind of physical problem this morning, I'm going to have you stand in a moment. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to ask God to touch you. But right now, the greatest need, the greatest desire of your heart. My Father and my God, what you said to David, you said to each of us, seek my face, not just my hands. You're going to supply our needs anyway. You've already promised. You will supply our needs. You said, seek my face. Know me. Get to know me, David. Spend time in my presence, David. Talk to me, David. Listen to me, David. Increasingly become aware of me, knowledgeable of me. Seek my face, David. I'm going to ask you, Father, this morning to stir each of our hearts. Stir each of our hearts that we will have a desire to know you, to seek your face. Father, we're asking you this morning to stir the hearts of the remnant to repentance, to holiness, and to intercessory prayer. We ask you, Father, stir the hearts of your people. And Father God, there are individuals in every walk of life who are of the elect, who do not know yet that they are of the elect. We ask you to bring them out of the darkness, in the kingdom of darkness. Bring them into the kingdom of your dear Son, the kingdom of light. And then use them to advance the kingdom of prey. In Jesus' name. Father, hear every prayer I pray that's been prayed this morning. I'm agreeing with them. You said if any two of you will agree, I'm agreeing with them, Father, asking you to hear their prayer. And when you've heard it and answered it, let them give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because you did it. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to anoint all of us in such a way that you can receive your blessing. If you have a physical need this morning, stand up right where you are. If you have a physical need, I want you to state to the Lord what your physical need is. I want you to say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's a proper prayer, you know. Tell him what your need is. What part of your body do you want him to touch? What part of your being? Because there's power in the blessings. And there's power in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to bless you in the name of Jesus. So you present the petition. Holy and righteous Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, I bless your people this morning. I bless them spiritually, emotionally, physically. I'm asking you, Father, to heal the hurts and the wounds and the bruises in the spirit. I'm asking you to bring relief, comfort, progressive, ongoing healing to that area of their life that they need healed. We understand that no medical protocol will be operative unless you bless it. No prescription will solve the problem unless you bless it. And you can use any means, any method you want to bring relief. We're just asking you to bring relief. That's simple, Father. We're asking you to bring relief. So I bless you, each one of you who have stood. I bless you in the name above every name, Jesus the Christ, with restoration, progressive healing, relief, and comfort. And this I do in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.
Well, dear hearts, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And before I close the broadcast out today, I want to pray for you, just as I prayed for our people here. But I want to make sure that you understand what I meant when I prayed in my closing prayer about those who are of the elect, who do not yet know that they are of the elect. I don't want you to misunderstand that, and I don't want you to think that I'm teaching predestination, that God predestined that some would go to heaven and some would go to hell, because he did not do that. As a matter of fact, the Word of God makes it very clear that God is not willing that any should perish. But when I talk about the elect, who am I talking about? The omniscience of God. I'm talking about the omniscience of God. God knew from eternity past who would be willing to call upon his Son to be saved. Those are the elect. Why? Because the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So who are the elect? The whosoevers. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, regardless of their background, regardless of the type of sin, the depth of sin, the length of the time they're in sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All who are willing to receive, all who are willing to believe, will be enabled and empowered to believe and to receive. That's a promise from God. You heard me praying about for the people in our fellowship here. Now I want to pray for you. We need to pray for the nation. We need to pray for spiritual renewal. We need to pray for revival. We need a move of God protecting our nation. And some of you need a move of God in your life, bringing relief, comfort, peace, and healing. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment and tell the Lord exactly what your need is. Present your petition to the Lord. I'm going to come along in a moment, and I'm going to agree with you just as I did our people here. And I'm going to ask the Lord to hear your petition. And it's okay for you to say to the Lord, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Say to the Lord, it's okay. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Have you stated your petition? What is it that you would really like for God to do in your life? We're going to pray and ask him to do that. My Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I come before your throne with these precious souls now, and you've heard their petition, Father. You know the deepest desire of their heart. And Father, perhaps you're stirring the hearts of some of these to seek your face like never before. Perhaps you're stirring their heart to seek your face for that problem in their marriage, in their family, in their health. on the job, whatever the problem may be. Perhaps you are seeking them to seek your face and to invite you into that situation, invite you into that circumstance. So, Father, in the holy and precious name of your holy child, Jesus, I come before your throne blessing these who have prayed. I bless their petition, and, Father, everything that's been prayed under accordance with your will, I agree with them. I agree with them, and I'm asking you, Father, to move in such a way that in your way, in your timing, that request will be met, that prayer will be answered, and when it is done, Father, I ask you to do it in such a way that they will know that you, their Heavenly Father, has heard their prayer and answered their prayer, and that they will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, once again, thanks so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.